and fast every morning. And now you see why. I mean, it's so you don't panic. People are panicking. I don't understand what's going on. You know, I just don't understand that. And for Christians to be panicking, I mean, that is, I don't understand that.
All right.
If you're praying and you're studying and you're reading your word, then you know it's just another opportunity for prayer, another opportunity for you to share the goodness of Jesus Christ with someone who's falling apart. Amen. We live in a broken, fallen world. So that's what it is. And we're navigating through a broken, fallen world. Amen. So we can't be surprised when a broken, fallen world is broken and fallen.
That's right.
That's what we understand. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, how we need your word even more today than we did yesterday as we're trying our best to navigate through, Lord. Your word already has spoken to our hearts. It's told us how to live, how to think, what to do, how to pray. It's told us everything, Lord. Now let us trust in your word, and follow your word, live your word, share your word, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I said Daniel chapter 9. All right, so let me just backtrack just a little bit. How did we get to Daniel chapter 9? I have no idea. No, actually I do. Okay. 9 and 16, Natalie, and you know we'll be all over the place. Put that out there already. But we've been talking about the old and the new. We were in Colossians. Colossians took us to Psalms, where God was our rock and our fortress. Colossians said, speak to each other in psalms and hymns. And so that's how we went to the Psalms. So we started in Psalms 18. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my shield. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Amen. What a time for the Lord to be our rock, our fortress, our shield, our high tower, the horn of our salvation, for God to be our everything. And then from there, David said, I will call upon the name of the Lord, who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He said he called and the Lord answered. So then that led us into prayer. So we went into the book of Daniel to see how God answers prayer and to see what prayers are how others have prayed. And make a note that all the heroes of faith, you can read about the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. They all had a strong prayer life. They all, if you're going to be a hero of faith, and God's called us to walk by faith and not by sight, you cannot walk by what you see. Let me give you a hint. Turn off the news, okay? Cut it off, okay? That thing will have you all jacked up and freaked out and anxious and nervous. See, if we're going to be heroes of faith, then we got to have a prayer life. So we realize I'm walking by faith and not by sight, because if I walk by what I see, I'm in trouble. And I'm nervous and I'm anxious and I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. But if I walk according to the word, I'm not saying don't look at the news. You look at it and see what's going on. What did Zig Ziglar say? He would get up and he would read the newspaper to see what the world says. And then he'd go right to his Bible and see what God says. So if you're doing both of them, you are right. But if you're doing one, you're going to be off balance. That one being the news. If you're reading God's word, you're always where you need to be. But don't just be consumed when I watch 3 hours of news and then read one scripture and wonder why you've fallen apart. That's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. So we're heroes of faith. We got to live by faith. The just shall live by faith is what the word said. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we walk by trusting in God. And you have to have a strong prayer life to walk by faith. Because stuff happens every day, right? Life happens. And you got to be prayed up to deal with it. So here we go. Look what Daniel says in, where are we at? Let me get there. 9 and 16. Okay, let me, what does my note say that? Okay, we have allowed the Proverbs, right? If you read Proverbs 13 today, really good. We've allowed the Proverbs to replace the horoscope, amen, and the fortune cookie and the lottery. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay. Remember that. We cannot be more excited about our kids getting accepted to college than we do about our neighbor, friend, and kids accepting Christ. College, Christ is above college. Somebody say amen. Okay. All right. That's in my notes, so I wanted to read that. So here we are. Daniel 9 and 16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I'm begging you. You should have that underlined, begging. So you're not just praying and you're petitioning. When you're praying, you're petitioning, you're seeking God, you are begging God on behalf of your church, your life, your job, your ministry, this country, your kids, your grandkids. You are begging God, God, I am begging you. Let your anger and your fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem. Let's put America right there. You can substitute America right there. Your holy mountain, because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach, a disgrace. Wow, this sounds familiar. To all that are around us, we've become a disgrace, Lord, because of our sins. Wow. So Daniel's begging God. Remember, he read Jeremiah. He saw how they'd been captive. They're getting ready to come out of captivity. And they're still doing the same things that kept them in captivity. Verse 16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness. See, we can't call on God according to our own righteousness. Because it doesn't work like that. See, here's the issue I have, because I was trying to say if it's not God's righteousness, it's our righteousness. But then I had to look at what our righteousness was. So for me to try and condemn someone else and call somebody else out on the carpet, I mean, that's really not what I should be doing. I should be praying for them. Because I can't even go approach God on my own righteousness. I have to go based upon Christ's righteousness, who made me righteous, so I can't be self-righteous and act like I'm holier than thou and try and condemn someone else. It's just what we read last week about the prodigal son. The prodigal son's brother, he was self-righteous. That was his problem. He said, Father, I've been home and I've done everything. I. He had the eye disease, his pride and all that. My brother, he's been out living with harlots and hookers and getting drunk and all that kind of stuff. And he comes back and all of a sudden we're having a party for him. He didn't understand that just before that, Jesus taught when one sinner repents that everybody in heaven, the host of angels, rejoice over one sinner. So this is what he was saying. He's been out doing all this big, wild sin. I've been at home doing my itty bitty, tiny micro sins. And I'm upset because he go out and commit big sins. But I stay at home and I just gossip and I talk and I backbite and I'm angry and I'm upset and I do my little sins. And then he comes back and you give him a party because he couldn't have thought he was righteous. Or maybe he did. All right. Let me show you. Let me show you what I discovered. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 64 and 6, Natalie. Isaiah 64 and 6. Because I was, you know, you see people and they're trying to say, well, he's this and he's that and he's this. I'm trying to say, well, you know, they said that about it was in politics. You know how it is. It was Ted Kennedy. You all know Ted Kennedy. Those of us that are older and. It's a place called Chappaquiddick, where some things happened that was, you know, people wound up dead and he was there and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, so they were talking about Clarence Thomas when he was being appointed as a Supreme Court justice. And they asked Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy said, I don't know. Just don't bring up none of my stuff. Okay. Ah, that's me. What about that dude over there? I don't know. Just don't bring up none of my stuff. Okay. That's where I'm going with that. 64:6. Amen. But we are all, if you're there, we're there, Natalie. Everybody say amen. But we are all, somebody underline all. You know what all means? It does mean all. But when you break it down in the Hebrew, it does mean each, every, anything, everything, all. Amen. But we are all as unclean thing. Not a things, but you are unclean thing. And all your righteousness are as filthy rags. So when I do all my good works, I help an old lady across the street. I'm nice to my wife. I'm feeding my kids. I'm taking them doing this. And I bring it to God and say, look what I did. He said, you don't get that filthy rag out of my face, you don't get hurt. So as we're as society, it's just so hypocritical. And we're trying to tear people down as if we got it together. And on our best day, it's a filthy rag. So I looked it up. I'm not going to tell you what it said, but I'm going to tell you what another interpretation of it. How many of you have kids? You already know, Sherry. How many of you ever seen a kid? Right. So when you looked up the Hebrew with the filthy rag, it's like if you have a newborn baby. Nope, it's not even a newborn baby, because when you get the newborn baby, you have either the breast milk or the formula, and they take a poop in the diaper. This is more like what, right before they're potty training, they be eating all that table food. And then they poop in their diaper, and you open it up. That's what he said your works are. So next time you're feeling real good about yourself and all the good work you're doing, just remember when you changed that boo-boo diaper right before they got potty trained at about 2, especially boys at about 2, girls probably about 1 or something. You know how boys are. Jackson, nothing personal, Justin, but these little cats, hey, they got it like 5 little kids, boys about 5. Man, are you serious? Filthy rags, our works is like a boo-boo diaper. And here I am trying to talk about somebody else and what they've done. God said, all you can give me is a boo-boo diaper apart from Christ. So when people just share it. So people say, you know, this, that, and the other. It's like, man, you don't really want to know how God sees this whole thing apart from Christ. So let's point it right back to Christ. If you don't have Christ covering your sins, you in worse shape than somebody else. Because you really don't know if he's repented for his sins. But if you haven't, we know what you represent. But it gets a little bit better. All right. And all we do fade as a leaf. So all this stuff we're working for apart from Christ is soon one life that will pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. We're talking about this on Wednesday nights in the book of Acts. All they did was preached and taught the gospel. That's all they did. They didn't go to work. They didn't go here or there. They went and just went house to house sharing about Jesus Christ. Because why? Because apart from Christ, it's not going to last. So they knew their works were as a leaf that's going to fade away. Right, it's fall time, right? You've seen the leaves fall off the tree. Who has a nice big tree in their house, in front of their house or something, and you just see the leaves falling? Right. That's what our works is, just like that. And we'll preoccupy ourselves with works and other things, and we got boo-boo diapers and fallen leaves. Happy New Year. That's all you got, Tara. That's all we got. We come to God with boo-boo diapers and fallen leaves. And our iniquity, like the wind, have taken us away. And iniquity, I looked it up, it's depravity, it's being morally corrupt, it's evil, it's mischievous, it's even perversity, which is deliberate desire to behave in a certain way, deliberate desire to go against everything that God said. That's what iniquity is. So it's not like I just didn't know, but when you're in iniquity, you actually know. And it's a deliberate desire to do my own thing. He said, all that has taken us away. Look at verse 7. There is none that calleth upon your name that stirred up himself to take hold of thee. Nobody's going after God. For thou hast hid your face from us and hast consumed us. You just melted us away. We get what we get and we don't throw a fit because of our iniquity. Got the nerve to complain, and then we just doing our own thing and wonder why the world is falling apart. Oh, but here we go. Here I said it gets better. Verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art the Father. We are the clay. Underline that if you didn't know. See, we didn't create God. God created us. We're the clay. And look what it says in God. You are the potter. That's good news, though. It says the potter sometimes has to squeeze the clay. That's what it said. The potter, you got to squeeze it so it can look exactly like what he wants it to look like. Anybody felt they were in a squeeze before? You being squeezed? Anybody in a squeeze right now? You feel like this is a lot of pressure. I'm going. That's because God is saying, I need you to look more like me. I got to squeeze some stuff. I got to get you right. Well, sometimes we're saying the devil's doing this. The devil like, dude, that ain't me that time. That ain't me. Matter of fact, I ain't got to do nothing because you already doing what I want you to do. Matter of fact, he said, look, I ain't got to do nothing. You already right where I want you. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't praying. You ain't fasting. You ain't seeking God. Don't blame that on me. I'm good. The grace of God is trying to get your attention by squeezing you so you can look more like God. And you fighting against that and you blaming the devil. Everybody else, as opposed to taking responsibility for where you are and not going after God. But now, O Lord, verse 8, thou art the Father. Thank you for being our Father, Lord. We are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are all the work of your hand. When you look at we look up the word clay in the Hebrew, it's dirt and it's water. So, I mean, but if you look at that, I mean, even going just a little bit deeper, we know that God formed us from the dust, right? And then he breathed into the nostrils and man became a living soul. And in Jesus Christ is the living water. Your body is made up of how much? Okay, let's try a science question. We know we're not good at math. On the couples retreat, we did good at math, but we did horrible on time. Okay, they don't know what time it is. Be back in 2 minutes. You see them 30 minutes later. Okay, so so we were good with math, though, but not time. Y'all know y'all not good at math, so I ain't going there with y'all. But let's try science. How much of your body is made up of water? 70%. Oh, right. There we go. There we go. But look how that works. God created us from dust, breathing our nostrils, his breath, the spirit, which we know is living water, is 70% of us. And when we go away from God, then we try and figure out why it's not working out, why our life doesn't feel right, because it's 70% of you is the living water of God that should be inside of you. Because he made us from the dust. And if you look, and Jackie is a nurse, and where's Sister Marlene? Is she, she's upstairs with the nursery or something. All right. Hospitality. The same minerals that are in the ground are the same ones that's in our body. How do you deny that? The word right here, God said, you're the clay, I'm the potter, I formed you from the dust, I breathe in your nose, I made you. Amen? Amen. It all adds up. Unless I'm just not listening. And I don't want to listen because I want to do my own thing. And I want to believe what they say, that I came from a monkey or a big bang. And well, who caused the big bang and who caused the monkey? Like I said, I know that's completely false, but I have seen some cats. I used to play ball with a cat. Like, dude, you might be that missing link. No, I'm just kidding. All right, anyway. Just kidding. All right. I've seen some brothers that look pretty close. Like, dude, I don't know. You just might be changed. You might be a few years away from changing to a human, dude. You know. So, I said I was gonna be, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd say I behave myself every weekend. JL told me to. Dad, I'm always on my best behavior. Okay. So God's, I love that because it lets us know that God isn't finished with us. It lets us know that God created us and we don't have to figure this thing out. We just have to line up with what God is saying for us to do. Because we are the clay and he's the potter. The world is trying to tell us that we are the potter and God's the clay. We make him up and any and every road leads to eternal life. It doesn't. Well, actually it leads to eternal life, but it doesn't lead to heaven with God. All roads do lead to God. I can show you in Revelation 20 that you're going to stand before God. So all roads going to lead you there. But it's only one road and one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we can make all these other religions up. But Christianity is a relationship between us and God. And when I'm challenging you to read the word, to study the word, don't make it a religious thing where I have to read the word today. I have to know. Make it as a relationship where I want to see what God is speaking into my heart and my life for today. I prayed this morning, I studied this morning, not because I had to come share with you all, but because I wanted to hear what God is speaking to my heart and in my life. For the church, for you all, for my wife, for my kids, for my business, for the ministry. God, what are you saying? God, I need a relationship with you. I don't want to be religious. I don't do this as a checkoff list. Okay, I prayed. Okay, I fasted. Okay, I did. It's not a checkoff list. If you're checking it off, you got to check your relationship. This is a relationship. Don't ever make God a checkoff list. Make it a relationship, God, because so much is going on in the world today. I need to seek your face. I need you to speak to my heart so I don't get caught up in the wrong stuff. So I'm not worshiping a man. I'm serving a king. Don't make this a religious thing. Make it a relationship. Look what I found in Romans. So you say, well, that's the Old Testament, so it don't count. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 3. So I tried to see what's going on in the New Testament. Tried to get away from that. Tried to get away from the boo-boo diapers. So I went to Romans 3. In verse 9. What then? If you're there, say amen. Romans 3 and 9. What then? Let's start off with a question. Are we better than they? You answer that question. What then? Are you better than whoever? You fill in the blank. Are you better than them? No. In no way. All right? In case you was wondering, let's finish with the scriptures. All right? Let me save you some trouble. You are not. I am not. It already told us in Isaiah what we are. Don't fool yourself. On your best day, you are a faded leaf and a diaper. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no way at all. We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. This is New Testament talking now. We're under grace, but still you're under sin if you don't have Christ in your heart. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So before you get out and you go protesting and you want to protest somebody else's sins and what they are, you make sure you understand who you are. And if you're not protesting, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't know what you're talking about. Going to change a broken system? The orderly system of deception created by Satan? You going to change that? Are you kidding me? I'm not saying protesting things don't have their place. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you better understand what you're doing. You better have a purpose. What am I doing and why am I doing it? Because if it's because of him, and then I say, wait, let me read that again. What then? So you ask me, are you better than them? And no, you're not. We have been before proved that both Jew and Gentile, that means the Jews and everybody else, they are under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand it. There is none that seek it after God. They are all going out of their way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I tried to get away from it. Went to the New Testament and ran into that. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, I have seen that. I've seen that. As I'm tearing somebody else down and cursing them out, and my heart is bitter towards them, I'm trying to think, what, am I righteous too? God says, your mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace have they not known. Wouldn't know peace if it hit them in the face. Wouldn't know the calm delight of Christ if it hit them in the face. There's no respect of God before their eyes. They're doing their own thing. I tried to get away from the boo-boo diaper and ran into a stinkier one. Look at verse 23, Romans 3 and 23, a very familiar scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's bring it home. Without Christ, we are nothing. Whom God has set forth to be appropriation through faith in his blood to declare the righteousness. That's where the righteousness comes from. Not from us, but through Christ and his blood shedding for us. The remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance, through the patience of God. God has waited a long time for you to understand this. But you can't work your way for this. And once we are saved, we still can't work our way. We work because we are saved, not to get saved. All right, let me finish up in Romans. Let's go to Romans 13. Bless you. Did I say Romans 13?
Yeah.
Let's start it. Natalie, take us to 12, 19, and 20, and then we'll get into 13. Romans 12, 19. Dearly beloved, you that are loved so much by God, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. God said, I got it covered. Calm down. Kick back. I'm running this thing. You all bent out of shape, but I tell you, dearly, I love you so much. Don't even worry about this stuff, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, I got it covered. I got it covered, says the Lord. But I tell you what you do. Verse 20. If your enemy, if he's hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And by the way, verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And we didn't got to figure this thing out. That's in your house. That's on your job. That's at the gym. That's at the store. That's at church. That's in as we're praying for this world. That's God's already given us the answer. Folks, I'm telling you. What was that again? I said, God has got it covered. OK, I said, God got it covered. Amen. Tweet that out. OK. Amen. Snapchat that. OK. Y'all out of control this morning. All right. Did they hear it? Do you want to hear it again? Y'all too much. Verse 13. Thank you. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Let every soul be subject unto authority and government. The governing authorities. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God allows things and set things up for his purpose. Amen. And since we don't know what God's doing, that's why we pray for all those that are in authority. God say, no, don't be fighting all this stuff. You don't know what I'm doing.
All right now.
But he says in Isaiah, I could take you to Isaiah, he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, As far as the heavens are above the earth, are my thoughts than your thoughts and my ways than your ways? You can't figure me out. You just pray. I'm calling you to pray and stay in order. Overcome evil with good. Feed your enemies. Give them water. Don't worry about it. I got it covered. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. God saying, oh, don't get all bent out of shape with this stuff. I'm behind the scenes running it. And if you believe that, then you can trust me. If not, do your own thing and we'll meet later. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Keep doing what's right. God says, I got it covered. And then we'll pick it up. Have to pick it up next week. Pick it up from there next week. Let us just spend a few minutes in prayer. Because God, you've called us to pray. You've called us to beg you, to petition you. So Lord, if we believe in you, it's okay to beg you. Sometimes we pray and sometimes we beg, Lord. So Lord, here we are as a body of believers, and we're just saying, we trust you at your word. You told us in your word that your prayers are open to your ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. So here we are, Lord, not on our own. We already know, God, we're not going there again. It's not because of our own self that we're righteous, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. So we thank you, Lord, that we are righteous and we can approach your throne of grace and say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Lord, forgive us of being disobedient in any area of our life, being bitter, being cursing, not trusting you, and falling apart over nothing. But you say, you got this. We've been young and now we're old. We've never seen the righteous forsaken our seed begging bread. We can trust in you with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding, acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our paths. Your word says the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord, and we're righteous through the blood of Jesus. We know that you will order our steps, but we have to trust you as we're walking. So we thank you, Lord, for the challenge to actually live this thing. It's more than Sunday morning from 9 to 10:30, but it is every day that you're calling us to live this, not just be Sunday Christians, but Monday through Saturday. We accept the challenge to live this thing, Lord. We want to be more like you. We are the clay and you're the potter. Squeeze us, Lord. Make us look like what you want us to look like. Go ahead and take off the excess clay that doesn't need to be there, that doesn't fit the mold. Take it off. And make us look exactly what you want us to look like. You're our Father. You're the potter. We're in your hand. We trust you with our life and with our future. We thank you, Lord. And maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. I realize that apart from God, I can do nothing. And I realize I need Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I need to line up with God. I don't have time to just, this world is falling apart. I realize that I was trying to do my own thing, thinking I'm going to make it. And now I realize if I don't rededicate and line up with Christ, then I'm really not going to make it. I finally realize I can't trust this world system. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. You say, Pastor, I've been visiting and going to go ahead and make it official today. It's just a good place from the worship to the word and the fellowship. I just love what God is doing. I know my purpose is to make disciples and build the kingdom, but I can find my method here, and I want to be part of this fellowship. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you, how we bless you. I'm going to ask my sister Marilyn to come up. Sister Marilyn. Sister Marilyn. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank God for our sister Marilyn. I'm going to ask some of the ladies to come and just lay hands on her. And she says she wants to join South Bay Abundant Life Church. Amen. And we're always so thankful for what God is doing and that only God can do. So, Lord, we thank you for Sister Marilyn.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for all you've done in her life, all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. And thank you for putting on her heart to unite with us here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Lord, we just commit and promise that we'll pray for her. Yes. We'll help her to discover whatever it is God has for her as she spreads the gospel. We know that the purpose of each and every Christian is to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to make disciples and build the kingdom. But the method is different, Lord. So we'll help her discover her method. What is the best way and what's the gift that God's put in her? And we thank you, Lord, because we know that it's in her and you sent her here. And that gift is going to help South Bay Abundant Life Church. And we receive it and we bless it. And Lord, we are, as we're praying for her and laying hands, covering her back, we promise not to stab her in the back, but to cover her back and to pray for her and to lift her up. We thank you for her granddaughter, Paradise, Lord. She's plugged in with the youth ministry. And Lord, we just want to be good stewards over those that you've sent us.
Yes.
As we journey together, we navigate, try our best to navigate through this fallen, broken, dark, decaying world together. We need each other more than ever, Lord. Thank you for this church home and thank you for this body of believers. We love you, Lord. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Melanie. God bless you. Love
thank you.
You. Appreciate you. Family, we have our members meeting upstairs. So please, we're going to start about 11 and we're going to be out by 11:45. Noontime at the latest. We do have continental breakfast up there. So members, take a few minutes to hang out with us this Sunday. We do it once a quarter. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. You are dismissed.
John, are we doing a business meeting? So the business meeting is...